Hello, and welcome to USMLE Connection, a podcast to keep you in the know about all things USMLE. My guests today are Dave Johnson, Senior Vice President for Assessment Services at Federation of State Medical Boards, and Michael Barone, Vice President of Licensure for National Board of Medical Examiners. Our topic today is The Conversation Continues, Exploring Possible Changes to USMLE Score Reporting. My name is Nicole. Thank you for listening. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Nicole. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So when we last spoke, the planning committee was reviewing the information that was gleaned from INCUS. What stage are you at now?
Well, Nicole, let me start by reminding listeners to who the planning committee is and what that involves before I answer the question directly. Recall that the INCUS was actually co-sponsored by five organizations: the American Medical Association, the Association of American Medical Colleges, the Educational Commission for Foreign Medical Graduates, the Federation of State Medical Boards, and the National Board of Medical Examiners. So that planning committee that you referred to, we've had a representative from each of those organizations that really had the responsibility for taking that input that we received from INCUS, really sort of absorbing and synthesizing what we heard, and then trying to incorporate that into a report with some actionable steps. And so we have actually been very busily engaged, quite frankly, in drafting that report and recommendations rather extensively.
So I'm wondering, what news do you have for us today?
Well, we're happy to report today that we're releasing the document. The document that Dave described will be released today, along with opening the period of public commentary. We've promised all along that we were going to let people know the conference proceedings and then the preliminary recommendations based on the five organizations thinking together. In the document, you'll see recommendations that are specific to the USMLE program, including a recommendation that the USMLE program revisit its scoring policy, its current numeric scoring policy, with some options that gained quite a lot of interest at INCUS. Among those is shifting all or part of USMLE to pass-fail. Again, that is just a preliminary recommendation at this point that will be carried through the period of public commentary and further discussions with USMLE governance and with parent boards. But that's what people were talking about at INCUS, and therefore that is in the report.
Great. And my understanding is that the report includes a mixture of both things that can happen from the perspective of the USMLE program and then also things that can happen from the perspective of the system. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So that is a critical aspect of these recommendations. We were together in INCUS for a very brief period of time, but very quickly, as we've said on these podcasts before, it became apparent to everybody attending that USMLE changes alone would not fix a system that is not optimized for applicants and for students. And as a result, the system needs a deeper look. We weren't really prepared to be able to fix the system in a brief amount of time, so a recommendation is included which really asks for a comprehensive review of the system owned by many organizations. A lot of these things are really outside the scope of USMLE and the parent organizations. And we feel that an effort to look at the system from the standpoint of who is accountable for what and how can we optimize things to make things not simply easy, but optimized and efficient for people applying to residency.
So today, you're posting the recommendations to the website. How would you like people to engage with this information?
Nicole, we are hoping that people will engage in some ways similarly to how we approach the discussions at INCUS. Because as I reflect back on it, we really put a priority on sort of listening, sort of comprehending, reflecting on these issues, and then responding with our own particular viewpoints. So throughout the meeting at INCUS itself, you know, stakeholders with very different perspectives really did a wonderful job in sort of listening to each other, sometimes when it was even hard to hear what others may be saying is a very different viewpoint, really learning about or reading about the viewpoints of others and then reflecting on what we heard before we tried to step forward with our own views. And so I would hope that the individuals looking at this report take a somewhat similar approach. We have tried to provide a good deal of information on the USMLE website where the INCUS report will be living. We shared a literature review that really gives you a good sense for some of the information and data that speaks to USMLE specifically currently and its uses and applications. But if people will have a chance to look at things like that, I think it gives them a way to constructively listen and learn and then have some context for when they get into the actual INCUS report and those recommendations that were fairly carefully crafted and developed by the co-sponsoring organizations.
Yeah, if I can add to that, we hope that people spend some time with the document to understand how the recommendations are in context. We describe a lot about the conference proceedings. We couldn't invite everybody to INCUS, and we know that there was great interest in what happened there. The document will actually outline the conference proceedings, the exercises that individuals and groups went through to be able to listen effectively, but also bring out the salient issues. And then in reading the recommendations, we'd ask people to look at the guiding principles. As a planning committee, we created a series of guiding principles to really advance certain initiatives, among them diversity in medicine, and how the recommendations would be able to support those initiatives, I think is really captured in the guiding principles.
Great. So what's next in the process? Walk us through the next few months.
Well, a couple of things will be happening, Nicole. There will be this period of open public comment on the report and its recommendations. And so we're going to be in a waiting mode over the next 6 weeks as individuals have a chance to go through and provide their reaction and comments to the report. The way we're gathering it is in such a way that we'll be able to capture all these comments, look for themes. And in fact, we've structured the ability for people to provide comment in such a way that we're hopefully capturing things specific to each of the recommendations that the report includes. Meanwhile, I think it's fair to say that staff will be looking at some of the options that are specific to USMLE score reporting and beginning some initial analysis on pulling together information and data that we would want to share with our governance of USMLE as well as the Federation and the National Board's governing boards.
Great. So you mentioned the governing boards, and I think many might wonder, what is the mechanism for decision-making as it relates to USMLE?
Well, you can imagine that with a report this complicated where various organizations came together to write it, it's been internally vetted. So our boards are aware of what's being said and are very interested in the period of public commentary to see if there is any particular gathering around one recommendation or another. So in order for the period of public commentary to come together and also the recommendations to become refined, we'll wait for this period of 6 weeks. We'll need some time to digest that as well. And then we'll be, along the way, reporting to our various governance boards. Those would include the composite committee and the management committee of the USMLE program specifically, and then the parent boards of the organizations that sponsor, co-sponsor USMLE. We have a commitment from the boards that they will be hearing about this as they meet. All of those meetings will happen in the latter half of 2019, perhaps extending into 2020 based on their schedule. The timeline is alluded to on the website.
Okay, great. All right. So I know that for all of our listeners, it's really important to feel heard around this issue. And I'm wondering if you can just speak to, again, how can people ensure that their voices are heard?
Oh, absolutely. We are so pleased to have the ability for people to provide public comment on this report and recommendations. Cannot strongly enough encourage individuals to take the time to look through that material that I think we've parsed out in a very thoughtful way that can really help people move through the document. There's an executive summary of about a page if they want to get a quick thumbnail of what's involved. But then there's also just a wealth of information within the report that really lays out sort of the framework of the conference itself, how we handled that, the mechanics behind it, guiding principles, as Mike alluded to, areas of consensus that we rather quickly identified as the Planning Task Force was reflecting back on the conference. So everyone's going to have the ability to engage with this report, either as an individual or at an organizational level. In fact, I think, Mike, you mentioned to me there was at least one organization that's already reached out to us and is planning to post commentary through the online option we're making available.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Dave. We would see the period of public commentary as being open to individuals, as Dave has described, and then also to organizations. Recall that we solicited commentary from organizations in advance of the conference. Not everybody had a chance to do that. The timeline was a little tight. But there are organizations that feel that they want to speak a collective voice about the recommendations, and we welcome both.
That's great. So in addition to responding on the website where you can share your public commentary, are there any other ways to engage?
Yes, there are. On June 24th, we'll be hosting a webinar, and by we, I mean the five organizations that came together to sponsor INCUS, where we will describe the recommendations in some detail, talk about what stands behind those recommendations, how we got there, and then more importantly, be engaging in a Q&A with a national audience. We don't think we'll be able to answer everybody's questions, but we'll answer the high-level questions that will give people additional information about INCUS going into the period of public commentary.
Great.
In addition to the website, as you said, Dave and I have been at various meetings speaking about INCUS. So, for example, we attended a stakeholder session at the AMA annual meeting. If I can, Nicole, just mention one thing. I think we've said in previous podcasts that the meeting itself, which happened on March 11th and 12th, wasn't designed as a decision-making meeting. And there were some people who I think were disappointed. They thought that a decision was going to come out of that meeting. We never intended that. We're at the stage right now where we have preliminary recommendations, but it wouldn't be correct if we simply put out recommendations without this additional period of public commentary. And I think that overall speaks to the depth of listening that we're trying to do.
So there's so much energy around this topic that I can imagine many questions, and you may not, as you alluded to, you may not be able to get to all of them. How might someone get their question answered?
Well, Nicole, I think part of that will involve encouraging people to continue to check the webpage where we are hosting this INCUS-related material. I can imagine that through the webinar itself, you know, we're not necessarily, as you said, going to be able to answer every question, but there may be questions that come up that make us realize, here's another resource that should be posted there, or there's some additional information that we should be considering or providing. I would just encourage folks to stay tuned and check back periodically, because consistent with our listening trend, we're going to continue to do that and put material out there that we think is going to help inform and move the conversation along.
That's great. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.